This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan here in the studio. We'll also be hearing a report from Jay Rader in St. Paul for National Ag Day. And we start with National Ag Day. Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation celebrating National Ag Day by spending the day in the Capitol in St. Paul. Red River Farm Network's Jay Rader has more.
Visiting here with Paul Anderson on the state capitol steps, you're a co-chair of the Ag Committee. Obviously, a lot of things going on the ag front these days. Got some legislation just passed, but a busy, busy session.
Well, it certainly is. Now we're kind of getting down to, we're back to a 67-67 tie, so that kind of clears the way for the way we're going to go. But we've been working hard in the Ag Committee trying to get a little bit of a bump of an increase for the Ag budget, because it's such a small overall part of the state budget, and Ag does so much for the state, so just passionate about that. And I guess making sure that our Board of Animal Health has what they need in case we have, I hope we don't, but any further outbreaks of bird flu or getting over into the dairy cattle side as well. So that's a big priority, to make sure we're ready to handle anything that may come along in that area.
Poultry production obviously is a huge part of the ag economy in the state of Minnesota, and the avian flu and some of those other challenges. But there's a lot of challenges right now in ag. It is a kind of change the last 2 years, and it's a little rough out in the country these days.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to come up with a positive cash flow unless you're a cow-calf beef man. They're doing pretty well now, but you know, yeah, commodity prices are not where we'd like to see them. And I think, you know, input costs have really jumped up and kind of stayed there, haven't dropped back down again like commodity prices. So, and interest rates, you know, for an operating loan, jumping from 3% to 8% is a big deal in terms of an interest cost. So a lot of things are coming together. And, you know, the uncertainty with the tariffs and such out of Washington, you know, we had a lot of these situations before that occurred, and we hope that those things get straightened out and figured out soon, and that we can get back to doing what we do better and exporting a lot of our Minnesota products.
This is Jay Rader for the Red River Farm Network.
Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation board member and Murdoch, Minnesota farmer Nathan Collins, says National Ag Day provides an opportunity to get in front of lawmakers and tell ag story.
Just to, you know, educate and inform, keep them up to date. They've got a lot of stuff going on themselves, and being able to keep track of everything is daunting. So if we can come down and spend some time visiting with them, take 10, 15 minutes and just update them on what we see for issues that are happening. It's a quiet time of season, but there's a lot of things changing all the time. And so we just try and continue that communication and have open door policy and visit as much as we can.
Collins says the political landscape has changed, making it even more important to get in front of those lawmakers.
You know, we've got less and less farmers down here, and it's, you know, it makes it challenging. But when everyone has an opportunity to see the impact agriculture has on the state, they realize how vital it is to have a good, strong background at the Capitol and support whatever they can, wherever they can for agriculture.
A large snow system is currently out in the western Dakotas, but is expected to make its way east in the coming days. Rapid City National Weather Service meteorologist Aaron Dye says the worst of the storm should be restricted to the foothills.
We've got people reporting at least a couple inches so far around Harding and Perkins County as this comes through. Pretty heavy wet snow as our temperatures are right around freezing. So. And that is the expectation for this event, is going to be all basically heavy, wet snow, with the majority of it being between northeastern Wyoming through the Black Hills and up through northwestern and north central South Dakota. In the hills here, we could see a good 8 to 14 inches there. I should say the northern Black Hills, where the lead Deadwood area.
The snow system is expected to move southward as it tracks east.
Well, right now everything is going pretty much west-southwest to east-northeast. The entirety of the system, though, is kind of expected to start to slide a little bit south there, so bringing it down kind of through Rapid City or through south-central South Dakota. So, yeah, the idea is that it tracks a little bit further south as it progresses throughout the day. Main thing is always like the traveling this time of year. People are used to spring, and obviously with heavy, wet snow, that can make the roads really, really slick.
Much of central and north central South Dakota are in the middle of a severe drought condition heading into spring. Aberdeen National Weather Service meteorologist Scott Doring says the dry fall and winter didn't help what was already a big issue.
A lot of the drought started off in the fall. We had a very warm fall overall. Parts of Minnesota actually had one of the warmest falls on record. And then we also had a very dry fall overall, too. And then as winter progressed throughout the year here, we didn't get a lot of moisture, not a lot of big winter storms. And we had a lot of up and down temperatures overall, above normal temperatures for a period of time, then a period of below normal temperatures. But overall, the storm system's been out of the northwest, which doesn't have a lot of moisture with it. So we've been overall been pretty dry, especially across most of South Dakota and even down in Nebraska.
Unless the area gets an injection of moisture sometime soon, the conditions could continue into the summer.
I talked to a couple of farmers in the central part of South Dakota, out by Gettysburg and whatnot. They are very concerned. They like the snowpack in March because it helps the livestock dams for the refill. And right now they were dry in the fall and they didn't gain moisture over the winter. So if we don't gain winter storm or heavy rainfall sometime in March, here in March or April, it's going to really hurt them for farming-wise, especially livestock. And even going back over the last 6 months, a good part of South Dakota, Minnesota, and North Dakota are anywhere from 2 to some pockets of 6 inches below average for rainfall.
It will be go time in a matter of weeks. Pioneer Marketing lead Scott Walker says farmers are busy preparing for the planting season.
I'm sure they're ready and getting antsy for it, but we're ready as well. So we've got our seed nearing the end of the shipping season, so getting all of our seed out in position with our Pioneer sales rep network and out in the field.
Pioneer has advanced over 50 new products this past year.
You don't want to be married to any new hybrids anymore because it's 2-3 years, and if we're doing our jobs properly and our breeding teams are doing their jobs, we're bringing newer genetics that are going to be better every year than the ones that you're planting today. So that's what we need to continue to do. And
you are listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. RCM Ag Services market analyst Steve Wagner says the lack of fresh news has these grain markets trading choppy and two-sided.
I think that's what we're going to see is a market that is trying to position itself ahead of the prospective plantings on March 31st. There's no new news in the marketplace. The funds have gotten out of their big long position in corn and have gone short, but you know they're not going to build a big position in front of a USDA report.
EverAg market analyst John Baer says the grain trade has a more sideways tone to it today.
It's kind of seeing kind of a neutral day here. Old crops off a little bit. New crops pretty even to up just a titch. So I think we're just kind of seeing this market take a breath. It's in a spot that seems to be kind of comfortable, especially on the corn and soybean side of things. And kind of typical for this time of year, we've seen from the commitment of traders report, corn funds took a pretty good sell-off as of Friday's report. So they're kind of sitting closer to a neutral position, which we usually tend to see them do this time of year. A lot of focus will be on March 31st, that planning intentions report, to see if they follow the Ag Forum acres or if we get a surprise one way or the other.
The livestock markets have turned choppy after opening higher.
We're finally seeing, the cattle markets and the hog markets as well, just really seeing to take a plunge higher here to start the week yesterday and closed out last week on a run. So I think we're just seeing a slight setback here. We'll be interesting to see, what the activity is as far as the consumer heading into summer, getting closer to grilling season, see if that demand stays, especially in this cattle market with beef prices where they are, if they start to see seek out alternative protein sources for the grilling season. So I think we're just seeing a little bit of a breath here today.
U.S. wheat industry is touting its sustainability story. New study conducted by U.S. Wheat Associates, National Association of Wheat Growers, and the National Wheat Foundation considered wheat farming practices from 1978 to 2018. The research found greenhouse gas emissions are down by one-third due to precision agriculture and a more prescriptive use of fertilizers. Energy use also declining nearly 60% because of improvements in fuel efficiency and reduced tillage. Soil erosion declining 60%. The comprehensive life cycle assessment was conducted by researchers at Texas A&M University and Colorado State University.
The Accessing Credit for Our Rural Economy, or ACRE Act, is a bill that would help farmers and ranchers in a number of ways, such as lowering interest rates. American Bankers Association Senior Vice President of Agricultural and Rural Banking, Ed Elfman, talks about some of the benefits farmers would see from the ACRE Act.
It's a tax bill. So in the context of agriculture, we always think farm bill, right? But in reality, there's a lot of taxes that affect agriculture, ACRE Act being one of those pieces of legislation that would change the tax code. So to break it down, what it will do is it will change the tax code around agricultural farm real estate lending, rural housing, aquaculture, and fishery. Essentially what it does, it becomes a tax pass-through to lower interest rates for farmers and ranchers, rural homeowners, aquaculture folks, and all of that. So it's something we've been working on for a while at ABA. The concept's been around for about 30 years, but with tax reform coming up, we thought what better time to start talking about potential tax changes to the banking industry that would help farmers and ranchers.
Though it is a banking bill, the ACRE Act would do a lot to help farmers and ranchers.
Interest rates are two things. It's a combination of risk and cost. Risk, make your payments on time, use a USDA guaranteed loan. That can lower your risk, right? On the cost side, we have to pay our employees, keep our businesses, our bank branches open, and pay taxes. So by removing the tax that we pay on farm real estate lending, we can lower interest rates for farmers and ranchers. Our analysis shows the rates will lower 50 to 150 basis points. So that's real money when you're paying 7% interest to get down to 5.5, especially in this type of environment we're in, economic environment we're in. So to us, it was a solution to come up with how do we lower costs.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Vive Crop Protection introduced Phobos FC fungicide for Cercospora control in sugar beets a year ago. Vive Chief Technology Officer Doug Bauman said more was learned about the product over this past year.
We went back to the lab and we learned and understood more and more about how Allosporus is changing prothioconazole. And what we came up with is that we're seeing double the amount of product left on a sugar beet leaf following a rain event compared to Proline, and about an 8% increase in recoverable sugar per acre, comparing heads on heads versus the competition.
Phobos leaves a thin, even layer on the leaves of the sugar beet plant,
as opposed to a chunkier layer. And that chunky layer in the competitor products can get washed off, whereas when ours dries down nice and flat, it resists wash off, and then you've got more product where you paid to put it.
U.S. milk production is expected to see a modest increase in 2025. That's according to USDA dairy analyst Peyton Ferrier.
Milk production is expected to grow modestly by 0.4%. That's primarily based on herd growth of 0.4% with a slight growth in yield, that's milk per cow. Milk components, the fats and skim solid percentages, are expected to grow. The all milk price is projected to be nearly unchanged at $22.60 per hundredweight. And feed costs, the cost of feed is expected to fall in the coming year.
Butter and cheese prices are starting the year out competitively.
The U.S. price is quite a bit lower than the EU price, suggesting U.S. butter is competitive on global markets. For cheese, you have an Oceania price higher than the U.S. price, suggesting U.S. cheese is also competitive to start the year. NDM and whey are, however, less competitive, particularly for whey. The U.S. price for whey was higher than EU prices, and that suggests that it's not quite as competitive on the global markets.
Chicken quotes, May wheat Minneapolis down 0.75 cents, 6.14 and a half. May wheat Chicago, 2.75 cents down, 5.65 and 3/4. KC wheat up 1¢ and a quarter, 6.06 and 3/4. May corn sitting at 4.58 and 3/4, down 2 pennies. May soybeans down 2¼ cents, 10.13 and a quarter. In Winnipeg, May canola is up $5, 5.74.30 Canadian. April live cattle up 7 cents, 205.10. June live cattle down 27 cents. April feeders up 22 cents, 284.42. May feeders down 20 cents, 285.10. April lean hogs down 67 cents, 87.40. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.